Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's kick off the last hour of Grant and Danny, shall we? 106.7 The Fan, keeping you company until 2. Chad Dukes versus the world at that time. Coming up in about 14 minutes, Bryce Harper's in town. He's a Philly. Anthony Rendon does not have a deal yet, inexplicably, so we're left to wonder. If he doesn't get a contract and he leaves as well, what should we take away from the last two big decisions as far as pending free agents went with this ball club? But right now, let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome Chase Hughes of NBC Sports Washington onto the broadcast. Chase, what do you make of the rumblings that the Pelicans and other teams are in on Bradley Beal? Will the Wizards listen to teams calling about him?
Well, I think it was very predictable that this would happen. I wrote a few days ago after talking to some people around the league in the wake of Anthony Davis getting traded to the Lakers how Bradley Beal now arguably is the top prize among players that could be available on the trade market. He's an all-star on a bad team with the end of his contract in sight. That is usually the formula for how these things go. So I think it was only natural for teams to start calling and asking about him. Now, I wonder if the Wizards would be smart to wait this out a little while. First of all, they don't have to trade him this offseason. He's got 2 years left on his deal, and it's a pretty manageable number because he's not on a Supermax contract. So they could wait through this next season to trade him, or they could just wait a few weeks and see what happens in free agency, because I think there's going to be a lot of teams out there that are going to be very, very aggressive that see an opening in the league now that the Golden State Warriors have all these injuries and aren't the team that they used to be. Teams like Portland and Houston and Oklahoma City, all these teams are going to be very aggressive to try to push all the chips into the table for this next season, and they don't have money to spend in free agencies. So the only way they can make a major upgrade is through trade. And also you look at the New York Knicks, who basically everything that could possibly go wrong for them this offseason has gone wrong. They didn't get Anthony Davis. If they strike out in free agency, then they won't have very many places to turn. So I would imagine they could call the Wizards, and they have a lot of assets, a lot of young players, and a lot of draft picks. So I think there's going to be interest, and they're going to get calls. Right now, I don't think the Wizards are close to parting with them, but I wonder if they're going to get an offer this offseason that they can't refuse.
Chase, those are some big picture franchise directional sort of setting decisions that have to be made. Who's going to make them?
Well, that's also something that needs to be kept in mind anytime that there's like a specific trade rumor out there, is that the Wizards don't have a long-term, full-time team president right now. They fired Ernie Grunfeld over 2 months ago, and they're still in a search for someone to replace him. They've obviously send some overtures out to Masai Ujiri. I really don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to have to fall back on whatever plan B at this point is, and I believe that is Tommy Shepard, who's been the interim team president, who is set up to run their draft in 2 days from now. And then, you know, a lot of people have focused on the draft. Well, you look at the next 2-3 weeks, basically the entire NBA offseason will be settled in just a couple weeks. Yeah, the rest of July and August and the first part of September, that remains until training camp starts. But after the draft on June 29th, they got to make a decision on Jabari Parker's team option. June 30th is arguably the biggest day in the entire offseason. They got to decide about extending qualifying offers to restricted free agents like Thomas Adoransi, Thomas Bryant, and Bobby Portis. That's also when free agency begins. So by July 5th or 6th, the summer league will be starting, and a lot of the moves that they need to make this offseason will already be done. So they're really running out of time. If they don't hire Tommy Shepard, if they don't give him the job, then it's going to be far from a traditional offseason, and one where you could argue that they're kind of punting this offseason and not having it the way that you would like it to go, where you have someone in place to kind of go through this entire process and evaluate players like you normally would.
How will Wizards fans react if we find out in the next couple of weeks that they're going with Shepherd after Ujiri's name and others were linked to the team?
I think, per usual, Wizards fans will be pretty grumpy about it. They've been kind of warming themselves up to these big potential hires. Before it was Masai Ujiri, it was Tim Connelly, and to kind of go back to Tommy Shepherd after all this time, I think will probably, kind of ignite the fan base a little bit in the wrong way. But I do think Tommy Shepherd, the more Wizards fans learn about him, the more they'll like. I think he's a guy who should get an opportunity to run a front office and probably will if this isn't the time. And, I've kind of drawn this parallel. I wrote a story about this, how Mike Rizzo, back when Jim Bowden was let go, when he resigned from the Nationals, Mike Rizzo was the interim guy, and he hadn't been a GM before, and he didn't have a very good track record with that team to point to. Basically, the Nationals were a disaster. Of course, he had had some success in Arizona, but I see some similarities in them in that regard and also their personality. So I think Tommy Shepherd would have a decent chance. It's just a matter of how long would the leash be and what Ted Leonsis says in a press conference, because obviously it'd be tough to sell to this fan base that this is the guy that you wanted all along.
And Chase Hughes is with us, Embassy Sports Washington. That's the point I want to get into here, Chase, is the selling to the fan base. Okay, so go back to 2011 when, it was cheap to get season tickets. A lot of those have more than doubled just in terms of cost, and everything's kind of gone up. And interest, I would say, frankly, has kind of gone down, even though they've been pretty good or were really good a couple years ago, going as far as they've really been in this kind of modern era of Wizards basketball. If you don't have Bradley Beal, which I think they should trade him, by the way, I think you get a great offer and you start over knowing kind of where they are as a franchise, but what can you sell? And how much of that is a concern? How much of this should be, hey, guys, let's get transparent here. This is going to be tough for a couple of years, but we're trying to build you something great. Or come see Bradley Beal and the Misfits. How much of that is a consideration?
Well, clearly, Ted Leonsis has looked at this GM search as a potential way to make a big splash. If you bring Masai Ujiri, I think that would get some fans excited because of his track record.
Sure.
I wonder how fans are going to react if they do swing and miss, which at this point I expect that they will. Will fans give him respect for swinging big, or will they kind of laugh at the Wizards, kind of like in 2016 when they didn't get a meeting with Kevin Durant? So that'll be interesting. But certainly holding on to Bradley Beal would have more interest from the fans than if you trade him and draft someone fourth overall like DeAndre Hunter. And one thing when it comes to trading Bradley Beal potentially is that if you do want to go through a rebuild and retool using some top draft picks, you kind of saw last year how the new lottery system, and even with Bradley Beal on the team, you're not necessarily hurt in the loss column. They still lost 50 games, even though he played all 82 of them, and they had the sixth best odds, and it was a team that had even worse odds than them that got the number one pick. So it's not like you have to tank and bottom out and win 17 games to get a top draft pick. They can probably still do that with the resources they have around Bradley Beal. So if they want to, continue with the same interest that they had last year and not go in the wrong directions, maybe you hold on to Bradley Beal and hope that you can take a step forward with the pieces you have around him.
Chase Hughes, NBCSportsWashington.com with us. NBA draft Thursday night. It's really going to start probably officially at pick number 4 when the Pelicans are on the clock. Anything that you would tell people to look out for as far as the Wizards in the lottery at number 9 that could be of intrigue?
I think the most interesting thing could be if Coby White falls. I really don't think Cam Reddish of Duke will fall, but Coby White, a guard from North Carolina who worked out with the Wizards yesterday, has long been projected to be a top 5 or 6 pick. But I think there are several different scenarios where he could fall. And if he's there at 9, I think in all likelihood would be by far the best player available. But obviously he's a combo guard, so you got the consideration of John Wall and Bradley Beal technically, although with John Wall's injury and his contract, I think you got to take the best player available, even if it's a point guard. But that would make things really interesting. I think that's something that Wizards fans could get excited about, but it would also obviously start a narrative that could last years about how does this guy coexist with John Wall. But I think the most realistic scenarios, if you can see Sekou Doumbouya of France there, or Bol Bol, who only played a few games at Oregon, and his father obviously played with the Bullets back in the day, Manute Bol. I think both those guys would be good picks for the Wizards.
Chase, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate the time, man. Be well.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Much appreciated. There's Chase Hughes. Read his work at NBCSportsWashington.com. Next, with Harper back in town and Rendon still looking for a contract, we could be headed down a familiar path. What would it say? What should we take away from the Nationals' decision-making if For a second time in 2 years, we lose a star. First Harper, a lot of people understood that.
Mm-hmm.
Then Rendon. Fewer people will understand that for Grant and Danny.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Interesting time to talk about Anthony Rendon's future and what it would mean if he left with Bryce Harper in D.C. for a game tonight with the Phillies. Harper, of course, hitting sub-250 with just a dozen home runs, has been disappointing for Philadelphia so far this year. That goes without saying. Allowing him to walk, while a very difficult decision from a business standpoint, he was a bigger national star than Rendon. He is a bigger local star than Rendon. He is more of a butts and seats guy than Rendon.
Sure, he's a face, right?
Face of the franchise, face of the sport type, all-star game every year. It was not an easy decision by any means, but more so, I think, from a business standpoint. From a baseball standpoint, where Harper has a chance to be a Hall of Famer based on the trajectory he's on, you had an outfield comprised of a couple of elite-level young minor league talents who had just gotten to the big leagues, in Juan Soto having a great year again, and Victor Robles, who's proven he's a major league contributor as a kid already and is going to be much better for years to come. Adam Eaton under contract, Michael Taylor on your bench. You had no problem replacing Bryce Harper in your major league outfield. There is nobody to replace Anthony Rendon at third base. You'd start next year a guy that you bring in this offseason. Some Jed Lowry type player.
Right.
You know, just some random dude who happens to now stand at third for nine innings at a time. Very, very different situation. Not to mention Rendon is a more complete player than Harper. That's not to say, if both of them had the best possible year they're capable of, that Harper's isn't better than Rendon's, because that might be 50-plus homers and 130 RBI and a 350 average or whatever he could be at his max. Anthony Rendon is a better hit tool guy, hit for average. He is a better defensive player by far. Harper last year was a liability in right. He's been a little bit better for the Phillies this year. Rendon's outstanding at third.
He's very good.
Rendon's a better base runner. Rendon, almost across the board, is just a more complete talent. Without coloring this and saying, oh, I think they need to sign Rendon, that's a different topic for a different day. We've talked about that, and I'll continue to do it every day we're on the air. They should re-sign Anthony Rendon. I didn't do that with Bryce Harper. I think this is a different situation. But here is what we wanted to get into, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
In light of Harper being back with his team, with Rendon still not having a contract despite having a career year on his way to an All-Star game, if he does leave, what does that say about the Nationals? Maybe more specifically, about ownership, about what is thought in the organization about your own talents. What should we take away if the Nats become the first team in history in a market like D.C., with a payroll like theirs, to let two all-star caliber players walk in consecutive seasons while still contending?
Tom Lavero wrote that the learners are on trial here from the fan base. And I actually believe that. I really do. Now, not every fan. There are some season ticket holders that will just come because it's baseball in Washington. There's Larry the lobbyist that's going to take his corporate clients and show up in the front row and drink beer and have fun. Some kids are going to go with the little league teams and whatever. But the baseball fan here that's following, that's really gotten part of this excitement since the end of 2011 occurred with some promise as that led to 2012 and 98 wins and this little run that they've been on where we can view 82 wins as a disappointment. That wasn't the case not that long ago, remember. This decade, we're privileged enough to be able to say mid-80s wins isn't good enough. And that's a great place to be, by the way. I'll take that with the alternative or over the alternative. But there's, as you've said a million times, correctly so, a very reasonable case and even a smart case, a judicious case, to let Bryce Harper leave, and you can allocate those resources in a better way. Well, that better way includes Anthony Rendon. And if you let him go, you can't just take that in a vacuum. You can't just say, well, they let this guy go, but they were able to spin him for prospects, or they rebooted the system, or they're going to spend this money adequately in other places. This would be yet another we know better than everybody else type move that probably blows up in their face. See the manager. See, not doing everything they could to secure a good minor league affiliate. So they have the worst situation in recent baseball memory where the AAA affiliate's in Fresno. And if you want a guy to come up from Fresno, you pretty much can't play him for 2 days. All these things that have sort of built up with them, you lose that much more credibility because you can hide some of these decisions, these foibles that this ownership group and others have had behind the fact that you win 96 games. You win the division. Nobody really cares that you didn't offer Bud Black a normal contract and that you ended up settling on Dusty Baker, who just wanted to get back into the game for a fraction of market value. Nobody cares that bad. But when it blows up in your face a couple times over, people are going to hold you accountable for it. Nobody cares when it's 96, 97 wins. Well, when you miss the playoffs for two straight seasons and you lose a homegrown star, because that's what Anthony Rendon is a star. Maybe not in terms of being on the marquee or in terms of being in commercials or whatever. That is a great Major League Baseball player whose arrow was trending up. He's in his prime. The numbers he's going to put up over 162 games are staggering. He needs to be here, or he needs to command an enormous haul. And if you didn't sign him because the price tag got too high, that's on you, dude.
And I think that's kind of where I double down with you is, at the risk of overstating this, because I got more questions to ask of people behind the scenes before I really form a hard opinion on how this is coming about and why this is coming about that Anthony Rendon could walk. However, on the outside looking in, I think my first thought would be, at some point you start questioning, what's your goal here? What is the end game? How desperate are you to win a championship? I did that to a small extent at the beginning of this offseason with this luxury tax thing. Frankly, getting under the luxury tax for a season bothers me way less than most people, because I think you reset it this year in a year where you could have and should have. And now moving forward the next couple years, you get to spend what you want to spend. And assuming they get back over the luxury tax and they do that, then I think that's probably reasonable and fine, and it was all worth it. However, this would be the first time where I said, it's not good business to let him walk. You can make the case, because it could be both. It could be cheap and good business to not re-sign Bryce Harper.
Yes.
You can make the case they did the right thing. I do all the time. I didn't think they should have re-signed Bryce. I'm glad that they didn't. This is not that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different thing. Now, me just standing here screaming at the ocean as waves crash because they haven't gotten a deal done, if in fact Anthony Rendon, who said publicly he's willing to negotiate, isn't actually serious about that, or if, in fact, Scott Boras is not playing ball with them, which is very plausible.
It'd be very Borasy.
That's not fair to the Nats either. But I need to know. I need, at some point, someone needs to figure out and come out and say, we offered him $200 million and he laughed at us. If you're offering, I'm just throwing random numbers out there. I don't know what the numbers are that are being exchanged. But if you're offering $120 when Nolan Arenado got $255, that's not a serious offer. If you're offering, think about what we knew about for Bryce.
Yeah.
10 and 300. Pretty serious in actuality in the end because he got 330, but over $100 million was in deferred payments. The Phillies offer was all over 10 years. So it was effectively over 10 years, like 180 or 190, whatever it was, close to $200 million versus $300 million with all the deferments. That's not going to get him. But again, I gave you a pass on that. I had no issue. Other people got upset. Not this guy. I had no problem because I thought you did the right thing. This is not that. This is different. And I am, in a lot of ways, going to be having my opinion formed based on what happens with Anthony Rendon about the next couple of years and about what the learners really care about and what they want, fair or not to them. Players of his caliber, guys like Rendon, in a market as big as this one, with a payroll like this one, with owners as rich as these, they need to be retained. Or we're doing it a different way, and you need to tell us that. or you're the A's and the Marlins, or you know, you're doing it with a smaller payroll. You're the Royals and the Orioles, and we're going to be up and we're going to be down. I need to know. But let's not pretend like that's not who we are. If you're going to let everybody walk when it's time to get paid, you have had one of your own, really, truly one, in this era now, since you've been really good, paid, and that was Strasburg's 175. And tinfoil hat theory, I still think that's 100% because they shut him down, and whatever they agreed to with Boris helped them with that relationship ultimately. They obviously locked up Ryan Zimmerman to a massive contract that has not worked out very well. Paid him $100 million to be a lifer as a National. Extended his deal. Those are the two all-time contracts taking care of their own that they've done. Strasburg obviously has worked out really well.
Yep. To this point, yeah.
But this would be two straight years of whatever this is. And I think this one's completely different and way worse for the team. Because there's a lot of reasons to let Bryce walk.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes and on the field and otherwise. There are, I would say, almost no reasons to let Anthony Rendon walk other than you don't want to pay him.
Now, let's say the demands are outrageous. And that's his right. That's Anthony Rendon's right. If he wants to go through the hell that a lot of these free agents have just gone through, where you don't sign until March of
next
year.
What's outrageous?
Call it the same deal Bryce got, for the sake of argument. 12 years, $320 million.
What if he wants Arenado's contract, if he wants $255?
Let's say that that's too rich for your blood. It's not for me. I'll do it because I'm desperate at this point. But whatever. Let's say that that's too rich. Then you can't do what you did last year, which was nix a trade for Bryce Harper. You can't walk down the middle and then end up with nothing.
Right.
End up with something.
That's part of this, too. We can get into that next.
That's the context.
Now we're asking you, if Rendon walks, and we're doing this while Harper's obviously in D.C. as a Philly, what does it say? We'll have 365 days, basically a year's worth of discussions like this. They got to mean something. But what if they let him walk without trading him again and get nothing for him like they did for Bryce Harper? 800-636-1067 is the number. The Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener line's yours on Grant and Danny.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yesterday, ESPN had LeVar Ball on one of their let's yell at each other and argue all afternoon shows. Stephen A. Smith was probably on it. I'm not really sure.
I'm going to bet that he was.
But LeVar Ball's on for some reason that I can't explain. I guess his son got traded. I'm waiting for Donald Ingram to be on the show next. But he, while on the show, said to Molly Karam Rose, who's Jalen Rose's wife, who works at ESPN. Well, let's just listen to it, I guess. Here it was.
LeVar, can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question
here. You can switch gears with me anytime.
Okay. Let's stay focused here. All right. Can you please explain to me what the big...
Now, it actually doesn't probably sound as awkward and bad as it looked, visibly, where she was kind of taken aback and stopped. You can switch gears with me anytime. And everyone just kind of laughs, and LeVar's got this big smirk, you know, like everyone's blushing and it's awkward. It's just a weird comment, right? I don't get up in arms about things like that, but clearly a lot of people do at this point.
Yeah.
LeVar, can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question
here. You can switch gears with me anytime.
So he says, through a spokesperson, that it was not intended to be sexual in nature. ESPN has admonished him, saying his actions were completely inappropriate.
You don't get to do that.
Why was he on your show?
You don't get to do that.
You can't invite the idiot to your party and get upset when he acts like an idiot. Hey, call up your buddy who does the crazy things. You know the guy that stood on the bar last time and broke all the glasses? Get him to come out with us tonight. Why is he acting like a fool? You invited a clown to the circus. He's going to put his paint on his face.
You did this, and then you can't believe it happened, or you're pretending to be above it. You are not. You are a disgrace. When you have the show that you already have that is disgraceful, and then you bring in a disgraceful element, a cartoonish, buffoonish horse's ass, that you've given him a platform that he should not have, and you gave it yet again when he has accomplished nothing. Continues to accomplish nothing. All that happened was his son fell out of favor in Los Angeles and became a trade piece for grander plans.
But didn't Baller Brand is having hard times? And
of course,
and on top of that, I think JP Flame is the only guy that actually has Big Baller Brand gear at this point.
I don't know if he ever got it. I hope he did not, frankly.
Actually, that's true. He was waiting for months and months. But Lonzo Ball, I think, left them and hit. The whole thing has been, everything we said is correct. Everything that we said is going to happen is happening. But they still have him on to talk about the trade.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
I need more shame. I need more embarrassment. I need more people to feel accountable. But no, they just gave him a platform and then couldn't believe when he said something I didn't like.
I saw that today.
To be above it.
I saw ESPN's like coming out with this thing where they're talking down, saying, how dare him do this? Really? What did you think? He was going to bring decorum, dignity, and class to the show? Is that what you anticipated with your big LeVar Ball booking? No, you wanted eyeballs. You wanted him to say a couple crazy things. You wanted him to say something dumb enough that maybe we'd play a clip and talk about it.
Just turns out he harassed the host. You didn't know it was going to be. Spin the wheel.
You got what you wanted. You got what you wanted. We're Grant and Danny. Let's get back into the topic at hand and get a couple of calls in on this. So Bryce Harper's with the Phillies back in D.C. Anthony Rendon at this time next year might be the next guy who's back in D.C. with another team after playing in an all-star game and putting D.C. on a pedestal during a showcase like Harper did in the home run derby last year. If he leaves, what will it signify about the Nats, maybe about the Learners? What will your takeaway be? Dave's in Manassas. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I wanted to jump back to your point that the Learners are on trial, and I think it's true. And I think, you know, at least in part because of a comparison to the ownership of the Washington Redskins, you know, two reasons on that. Well, first, sorry, the fan base hasn't been around long enough, right? So they're not steeped in Nationals history. So they're much easier. It's much easier to leave a short-term relationship than a long-term relationship. And the second thing is when the fan base started to leave the Redskins, as I think we all agree they are, it's because of a product that's been put on the field that just isn't great. So it makes it easier for people to leave the Nats if they're going to, if we feel like it's not going to be a good product put on the field.
Appreciate the call. I could be wrong. I just refuse to believe that Mike Rizzo, as a baseball mind, knowing what he knows about his roster construction, the next couple of years, the chance that the Nats have, how good Rendon is going to be in his prime, that if this was up to him, he wouldn't just have the deal done today. I have to imagine this is a managing up thing.
Yeah.
This is a, well, here's why we have to do this. I know for a fact, I've asked him a bunch of times about it. He neglects to provide the information that I'm looking for, and that's fine. But I know that he had a deal with the Houston Astros. We said this on the show last year.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this at training camp. Remember that day we got that text, and
yes,
they were about to make a move for three or four players for Bryce Harper. He was not allowed to do that. Things like that happen. I have to imagine it's happening now because I just think too highly of him as a baseball mind to think he's going to let Anthony Rendon walk.
Or think of this. Again, context matters. Let's say for the sake of argument, Juan Soto is where he probably, according to what they thought developmentally, he should be. Let's say he's hitting the cover off the ball at AA right now or doing fine at AA with the other 20-year-olds. You don't have the same negotiating posture with Bryce Harper, right? It's a different animal. Now, you still may ultimately lose the bidding. You still may not want to go to 13 years, $330 million, or you may not want to present an offer without deferred money. But you don't have as much confidence knowing that Juan Soto walked into a Major League locker room as a 19-year-old and did things only a handful of players in Major League history have done. You don't do that without Victor Robles. Well, right now, you don't have a Soto or Robles waiting in the wings. You got kid named Garcia, who's tearing the cover off the ball in a ball. Good luck.
Luis Garcia.
Yeah, good luck.
He doesn't play third base.
Yeah. Good luck solving the problem that way.
Let's go to PJ in D.C. Hey, PJ.
Hey, man.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Thanks for taking the call. First-time caller. Danny, for what it's worth, I'm a buddy of your buddy, Winship. Great guy. Great
lacrosse
player.
Oh, nice, man. Very cool.
Winship Ross.
That's right.
Good old Winship. That's correct. That's
Tell
correct.
Him I did but, not say hello.
the point earlier, real quick, on Serge Zwicker, he actually went to Harker Prep. It wasn't Montrose Christian. Him and X-Ray Hip were on that Stu Vetter team with X-Ray. But anyways, just real quick on this, I just have a couple quick comments. I think the Nats really, really need to tread lightly. We're dealing with a baseball fandom that basically a lot of people were formerly Oriole fans, including myself. And we switched over because we just got sick and tired. Not we in general, but a lot of people
yeah.
just got sick and tired of the Angelos, the way they ran the organization, the way that they didn't handle their homegrown talent. And unlike Bryce Harper, Rendon is a great fielder. And he can, you know, if you do have to sign with a 12-year deal, there's no DH in the National League if that continues. He'll easily be able to switch over to first base. And anyways, those are my points. Thanks. I'll hang up.
It's a good phone call.
Appreciate
Thank you.
Buddy,
I don't think it needs to be 12. I don't think it needs to be close to 12. I know you're just kind of throwing that in there at the end.
This will be 29, right?
But also, I think there will be a DH in the National League. The Phillies essentially bet on that when they signed Harper the deal that they did. You could pretty much throw anyone at first base toward the end of their career. You could project out and say Bryce Harper could be playing first base. It's a more important defensive position than people think. But, yeah, I think Rendon with his acumen could play there for sure. It would not be nearly as high risk a contract. The one area where you'd say, I'm not sure. He's gotten hurt a few times. He's been on the injured list a bunch. But generally, look at the game logs. It's not like Bryce where he's going to miss 40 or 50 games. It's, you know, he misses 10 or 12 games here or there. He missed 14 this season early on. Fluky thing. Got hit in the elbow by a pitch. Not a whole lot you could do about that. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We will squeeze in a couple more of your calls, hit the best of the rest, some of the leftovers that we haven't gotten to yet to wrap things up next.
60 years, people. 60 years in business. Happy anniversary to my guys over at Ted Britt Ford. It's a big anniversary. So the good people over there at Ted Britt have been taking care of folks like you and me since 1959. I'm a two-time Ted Britt customer. It's about to be three. That's right. I got I'm heading out there probably in a couple weeks, get myself a new ride for the lady wife. Now is a great time to go and buy. It's always good. Now it's great. Summer 60 event is in full swing. Here's what it means. You buy a car from Ted Britt Ford. Congratulations, you got a new car. You go, what do I owe you, Ted Britt Ford? And they go, nothing. You owe us nothing for 60 days. That's right. Pretty much every model, you don't pay them diddly and or squidoosh for 60 days. Then you can take some money off these cars. How about this? $12,000 off the MSRP on a new 2019 F-150 truck, plus no payments for 60 days. $9,000 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Explorer, plus no payments for 60 days. $8,000 off a 2019 Escape or an Echo Sport, no payments for 60 days. You get the point. Go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford, and when you do this, please tell them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're up to 990 votes right now. We got 23 hours left, so we'll see how many. Matter of fact, it just updated. We're at 1,028 votes. I tweeted and asked, always kind of curious about this. I know you are as well. What do you care the most about right now?
Because that's what we're in the business of doing, right? That's our thing.
Talking about what people care about, theoretically. The Nats season and Anthony Rendon's future, 46% of respondents. 36% say the Redskins offseason. So combined, about 82%+ of people, Nats and Redskins. Third is the Wizards draft, which is Thursday, and their offseason at 9%. Fourth is the national NBA storylines at 8%. Now, I think this is probably a little bit skewed because of my followers. I'd say most content you're getting is going to be NFL, MLB, and then even caps over the Wizards by and large on Twitter. But even still, based on what you and I experience, I would say that's a pretty decent gauge of the DC sports fan.
I think it's right on with the current state of the union. I really do. I think people are listening to the Redskins, right? They go, oh, I'll hear that. I'm not mad at it. I'm not going to shut it off. Maybe some.
I don't think they're going to get overly active on the Redskins and really invested until the start of training camp.
Yeah, I think that. And it used to not be the case, by the way.
Oh, this used to be prime time for skin stuff right now.
After the draft, you've had a couple mini camps. Let's start getting to what are you looking forward to at training camp? Like, what do you want to see? Position battles, the kids. People are ghosting it at this point.
Yeah, and we'll go hard with position battles really throughout the next month leading up to camp. I think we are, essentially 5 weeks away? Memory serves, camp starts somewhere around the 24th, 25th, something like that. So I think we're right about 5 weeks from the start of training camp right now. So we'll get elbow deep into our coverage as a show. We'll be down there in Richmond, which will be a blast as well. Always a good time for the first couple days of camp. Looking forward to that. We might even be able to broadcast on site for the first time ever this year. That would be fun.
July 25th through August 11th, according to this website I'm looking at right here.
Here's something we need to tackle tomorrow, by the way. This is a great topic. This is something I'll probably talk about with at least three different people tonight at length, and then talk about with you as a job tomorrow for a bunch of hours.
Oh, I like it.
I saw a tweet from J.P. Finley. I think he wrote about this today. The Eagles are having one open training camp practice for their fans this year. And they're charging $10. I think it goes to charity.
Because you can't just charge $10, because that means opposing scouts can come in and watch everything that you do.
Right.
The only reason I know that is because Dan Snyder did that.
It happened one time.
It happened before.
But that said, they're having one open practice for fans. The Redskins are down to whatever it is this year, like 11 or 12 practices, I think, open to fans. There's a time, not too distantly, where I would go to training camp for like my summer vacation for a week, but it was a month long, and I knew people I would hang out with that were there that would come from out of state or whatever for 2 weeks at a time. There were people that, especially when it was in Ashburn and it was local, they'd go every other day or so for 4 weeks, and it was just constant. It was two-a-days throughout the summer, and if you didn't have anything to do, you'd drive over. A lot of teams around the league are now in single digits in the number of practices that they actually offer that fans can come to.
And it's a shame, because if you can't pony up for season tickets, or if it's, you know, hard to drive up there on a Sunday. Let's like remember that there's a Redskins fan that calls us from North Carolina sometimes. He's like, I make the trip every Sunday. That's a lot to ask for, you know, a lot of people, right? This is a great and accessible way. It's like going to spring training in Major League Baseball. There's accessibility. You can watch something cool and unique. You get to hear things that you don't normally get to hear.
Right.
Everything about it is great.
The access, that's the word I always use for spring training and for camp. It's unlike any other major sports opportunity you're going to have. Who cares about autographs, really? I mean, some people do, but I'm not even talking about that, but you'll get those. I'm saying that the chance to just have a conversation with a player, the chance to just banter with a guy as he's going through a drill 10 feet from the rope that you're standing at. You said spring training, and you're 100% right about that. But the Redskins offseason, 36% behind only the Nats and Rendon's future, and then 9% for the Wizards draft, which is this week, in the NBA storylines. I'll say this for the NBA. I find the NBA offseason to be completely captivating. You know, at times, I find in the regular season how often we talk about the offseason exhausting. You and I have discussed this in the past, but I'm not one of the things that turns me off a little bit sometimes about the regular season in the NBA is that sometimes I feel like the games don't matter as much as they should.
It's a huge complaint I have.
And people are like all regular season, it was not really about the Raptors this year. It was about, is Kawhi going to be here? Is he going to stay? Is he going to leave? Is he going to stay? Is he going to leave? It's so much more in the NBA to that extent than any other sport. But the actual offseason right now with this Anthony Davis to the Lakers starting the dominoes falling, they do this part better than everybody else.
Because the stars are so marquee in the NFL, NBA. Right?
And they have so much control and power.
And they have so much ownership of it. I think that's point two. The thing that I don't like is we're looking forward to this period starting in November.
That's what I'm saying.
The first whispers of Kyrie Irving being displeased in Boston take place in December, and it's a story. Kevin Durant refusing to answer questions in October because it's a story. Looking forward to this when games are going on and meaningful sport is happening is a turnoff to me as a lifelong basketball fan who loves the NBA. But now that you're in it, it's pretty cool.
No, 100% co-signed. I'm not advocating that we should be doing what the NBA does and basically building this up
100%
while teams are winning and losing basketball games. But now that we are here, some of the hype that is derived from the months of leading up to it might benefit. The fact that it is, as far as an offseason goes, about as dramatic and unpredictable as any sport. And the names that are changing organizations generally are bigger than in other sports.
Yeah, it's like two or three enormous oh my God moments per offseason now.
And a lot of it is all the guys that can opt out every year and the control that they've got. Real quick, Paul in D.C., you've been waiting. You get the last word. I think you wanted to talk about Rendon.
Yeah, I agree with y'all about Rendon, that the Nationals have to pay him. I disagree with you, Grant, that Harper should have been paid. My theory is that you don't let go of your stars or your homegrown superstars, you know, even unless they are impossible behind the scenes, you know, where the fans can't see them. You pay them because all the contracts, after a couple of years, the money's going to seem like it's affordable. And one of the things I look at the Nats have fallen off in attendance at home and on the road. And Phillies has gone up at home on the road.
Yeah, their business is booming right now. Not just because of Harper, that helps, but they had a great offseason. Went and got Real Muto and made some other deals as well. Probably the best offseason in baseball. So there's no doubt they're putting butts in seats, and that'll help with the money that they spent on him. I'm saying I wouldn't have re-signed him because it still comes from the same allowance, right? $330 million is still coming from the payroll. That's either pitchers I can't have ultimately, that's productive bats I can't have, and as far as I'm concerned, I would rather those other things than Harper based on what I'd seen with his injury history. So some of the issues that he provides that aren't even his fault behind the scenes as well, just by being the biggest name in every room he's in. Appreciate the phone call and all the phone calls today. If you missed any part of our show, including Sean Doolittle of the Nationals who joined us, our breakdown of the possibility of trading Bradley Beal, you can go to grantanddanny.com/audio.
Big Chad Dukes versus the world up next. Huge. Bigly. Mikel Franco's hard hit percentage has dropped precipitously this year. 205 average. What gives? Chad has an analysis of swing plane. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.